Alright, but and welcome to the Loony Witch podcast with me, Kat.
And me, Amy. And today we come to you on the Buck Moon. So as the sun reaches its full potential, so do the young bucks, with their new antlers emerge and as a potent symbol of their strength, ready to, you know.
Virility.
Yeah. So this is a time to reconnect with nature, spend it outside, and rediscover the wonder of your surroundings.
What's it called in deer fuck? Rutting. Rutting.
Isn't that when they fight to
no,
find it?
No, is it? I thought rutting was when they fuck.
Could be.
Yeah, maybe.
Going off to rut.
Yeah, buck rut.
Buck rutting.
Bucking and then rutting.
How are you, Kat?
I'm good, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. I thought we could talk about it. We went to see The Northman the other day.
Oh my God, that was so good. Lots of screaming.
There was a lot of grunting.
Mm. Howling.
A lot of howling.
A lot of blood.
There was a lot of blood in it.
A lot of blood.
A lot of naked men. Mm.
That was good.
Yeah, it was.
And those really cute houses. The Icelandic moss houses that we really wanted to live in one.
I never really got the Alexander Skarsgård thing until...
Mate, he was like... I've never seen anybody be cut and chonk. Like, how do I explain this? He was like built and cut.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he had a big, like, he wasn't like, you know, sometimes when people are really, really like muscular, they're quite sort of slim with it.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just great, you know, all bodies are beautiful. But he was just like barreled. But then he had like this mad fucking belly muscle thing going on.
Yeah.
Like, what was that?
Yeah, hot.
It was hot. That was hot, yeah.
I like somebody that you can look at them and go, he can pick me up. Mm. He can put me over their shoulder.
Yeah.
You know? That works both ways. If there's a woman, I'm like, she could pick me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know? The only thing I couldn't abide by was I just wanted him to stand straight.
He was very hunched, wasn't he?
It must have been part of the character.
I think so. I think if you're a tall person all your life and you're around short people, you do end up like with a bit of a hunch. Like.
Yeah, I get that. Mm. But very magical as well.
Magical. Good twist.
Good twist. Very much on the brink of, is this fantasy, is it not? Because it brought in a lot of the Norse mythology as if it was real, which it was real.
It was.
To them, you know?
Yeah. And fucking, what's his name? Is it Christopher Walken?
No.
No, what's the other guy?
William Dafoe.
William Dafoe. I always get those two mixed up. I knew I was going to do that.
No, they're nothing alike.
No. Ah, they are.
Christopher Walken and... And William Dafoe.
In my head, they inhabit a similar space in characters.
Oh.
They play similar sort of characters a lot, don't they?
I
creepy weirdos.
Yeah, they do like a creepy weirdo.
Yeah. But like, he was in there for like 5 minutes, and then it was just his head. I don't feel like I'm giving spoilers here, but fuck it.
No, it was very good, and yeah, I liked that film.
Mm. The Valkyrie was sick.
Yeah.
That bit with the Valkyrie, I was just like, ah!
And it had the other beautiful girl from The Witch in it.
Yeah. What's her name?
Can't remember.
Can't remember her name. But yeah, she was class.
Yeah, she was good in
it. Yeah. And it was silly as well, because it was just like talking about, you know, how like Scandinavians enslaving like Slavic and Russian people. And it's just like, you're all the fucking same. Like, you're all the same people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the Silk Road.
Yeah.
Which they talk about in Vikings, don't they, when he finds the Silk Road.
And that's the thing, I messaged you a few months ago about going to see that film because I fucking love Vikings. I love it.
I'm a really big fan of Vikings. I think I've only got, like, 6 episodes left and then I finished it.
And then there's Vikings Valhalla.
Yes, and that's on
which is all right.
Yeah. Well, I went to go see Vodruna, who do the music for Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
We saw them on the Embankment in London. And I will admit, like, before I went, I wasn't hugely into it. I was very much like, oh, this is going to be an experience. It'll be beautiful. The performance, I've seen nothing like it.
Mm.
Where the lights, I can't even describe it. Each time a different instrument played, a different light highlighted them. And then when they all played together, the lights flashed. And on the, like, bit of fabric behind them, the shadows changed and overlaid because they were all standing in very specific spots. Ah. So it was very much like
so
a light
audio
show.
And visual experience.
Yes, and there was really like no talking. It was very much, you know, the chanting and the different instruments until the end, when one of the things he talked about was lots of people talk to them and say, are you trying to bring the old ways back? Do you want us all to be in the fields and stuff again? And he was like, no, what we want as a band is to bring the old ways into our new life. Like, we were birthed in song, you died in song, you worked in song. Why? And, you know, we always talk about the old ways on this podcast. It's just one of those lovely things that you can continue to do. And yeah, it definitely was a bit of an emotional like moment, and it was like, oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
you
oh
know.
That's nice.
Yeah,
but I was listening to somebody talk about it was to do with like different time periods. Like in our heads, we always imagine like that time period, that was a perfect example of that culture.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, everything before or after, or usually after that, or that's been like muddy. But actually, you can't take a culture out of its time context.
Yeah.
So, you know, the old ways are still the old ways, just now, do you know what I mean? Oh, I'm not explaining this very well.
You can fit them into your life.
You can fit them into your life. It's not like this sort of, oh, we're going to take ourselves back to that exact moment in time and do it exactly the same, because you can't do that.
Because I think for
it's
some...
It's got to evolve.
Exactly. And we all have comforts from modern day life that we enjoy and that we appreciate. And I think while some things are, you know, we've all looked at pictures of cabins and places in the woods where there's been outside metal baths, and I think, gosh, imagine the summer being in the outside metal bath.
When me and Tom went to Sleen Peninsula, we stayed in that roundhouse.
Yeah.
We had one tap outside, and in the morning we just threw buckets of cold water on each other to have a wash. And it was great. Like, I could live like that.
Well, the cold water is very good for you.
It's class. It was really, really good.
And you do just think, all right, I would love something like that, but actually, would I still like a bit of Wi-Fi? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because
I'm a modern day.
Because I'm a modern day person, and I do still.
Would I like to live beyond 30? Yes.
Yeah, exactly. There are things that you choose and pick, isn't it? And I think, I'm very into. It was fantastic. If you ever get the chance to see a band like that, and they obviously played the Vikings song.
I thought that was Fever Ray did that one.
There is a Fever Ray, but I think they do the background music of it. And there was a lady beforehand, and her songs were all inspired by the goddesses, and she was just a lady with a cello.
Oh,
and she
cello.
Was amazing. And again, it's in this massive like opera like house, and she's one person, and when she was speaking to the crowd, I was like, there are hundreds of people in front of you, and you can just have a casual convo when I do this. But it was amazing. It was quite funny because you have all these, like, again, sometimes I think you get a certain type of person that likes that music. So you had a bit of metalheads all dressed up in their like battle jackets sitting in a nice like audience. But it reminded me of the Northmen, and it reminded me of Vikings, and yeah.
I do like that sort of sense of like community and strip backness. That's what's good about the Blackthorn band as well.
Yeah.
Like, they're just really amazing, like, folk musicians. And the whole thing of, like, sitting around and all singing together is great. Like,
group singing, yeah, I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
We're going camping in July. Maybe I'll get them to do a bit of singing. Because they've recently emailed us, we're going to the same place in Aberystwyth that we were going to before. And the locals, they emailed us to tell us the locals have putting on their local festival in
amazing.
The field next door, and would that be a problem?
It's like, no, not at all.
No. And they were like, oh, there's a fire pit where you can cook food on, and there'll be a bar. And we were all like, oh, well, yeah.
But
like,
yeah, it's like going to
is
your
it free?
Festival. Like.
And they're like, yeah, it's free. Do you still want to camp? Yeah. You know?
Fabulous.
Yeah. It'd be very nice.
I see about coming with you in July. When is it in July?
First weekend or second weekend in July.
Oh,
8th, 9th. But it's a lovely place. It's very basic. But, you know.
Murder toilet and the well. Witch of the well.
We never found the well. We didn't go
we'll
looking for it.
Well. Me and you will find the well.
I don't want to find the well, to be honest. There's nothing creepier in this earth than a well.
What's creepy? I don't know. I find a catacomb creepier than a well.
I've been in a catacomb.
Or like those holes where people go spelunking. I've seen that when people like force their way in.
Oh God! There's one on TikTok at the moment. They go through a hole that's literally the size.
Horrible. That gives me such bad anxiety.
I don't understand why you would go in a cave and do things like that.
No.
That's my worst nightmare.
That is my worst nightmare.
I went on a hen once. We went gorge walking, when you walk up rivers and go through waterfalls, and there was a hole in the cliff face there. They were like, you crawl up into it and you reverse back out. It wasn't very long, it was literally on the corner.
What do you mean, crawl up to it and you reverse
so you
back
crawled
out?
Up into the space. I'm doing motions with my hands now, so you can't
understand.
So you crawl up into the space and then you like reversed back out down into the next, into the bit out. So it was kind of like a V shape. So you went up one side of the V-shape and you wouldn't be able to
turn around,
so you reversed out. At the time, I was a larger lady and we were in wetsuits. First of all, getting me into this wetsuit caused a lot of anxiety. All these women I was with were like teeny tiny as well. And so I thought the wetsuit was bad enough. But then they put the bloody... life jacket on me.
Yeah.
I couldn't breathe. So they were like, oh, we want you to go up into this hole. And I was just like...
Did you not go around the hole?
Oh, I didn't do it.
Oh.
Because I had this massive fear of...
Getting stuck in a hole.
I'm going to get stuck in the hole. And I'll be the fat person that got stuck in the hole.
When you're just like, this is how I die.
Yeah. But it's the same as I went to a soft play the other day.
Yeah.
And Thomas took me in a really long tube. And, you know, like these tubes they have in soft play.
Yeah.
And I felt like John McClane in, like, Die Hard. But also I was just like, I am definitely claustrophobic. Because I was just like, this is my idea of hell. Like, and I never knew that. So when you see those people go through the tiny holes in the cliff, and they're like...
Awful.
Yeah, and I've watched them, and I'm like, and they're like, oh, this gap is only 15 centimetres wide. I'm like, yeah, because you're not supposed to go there.
You're not supposed to go in there, yeah.
Yeah, that's where the monsters live.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, not really nearly died, but, like, I could have died recently.
Whoa,
so
say.
We went to Llantwit Major Beach. And
yes.
The tide, like, so we got there, the tide's really far out, and we're on the sand, grey. So we went and had to swim. The waves are like they're so high, the waves. You have to like jump up not to get the wave over your head. There's loads of surfers, so it was really good surf. And I having loads of fun. Tom inadvertently, he was trying to like save me from going into the wave, but pushed me face first into the wave by accident. love him. So then, yeah, so the tide was coming in so fast. So we were like eating our lunch and then the tide was just coming in.
Yeah.
And it gets really rocky. It's like it's a really rocky
beach.
So we sat up on the rocks and Tom was like, oh, let's go back in for a bit because there's like rocks, but then there's a big sandbar in the middle and a big like bit where it's all clear.
Mm.
So I clambered down the rocks. Like, this is like in water this deep, like water that's like waist deep, and got out onto the sandbar, had a little swim. I thought that's great. And then on the way back up through the rocks, I got my ankle caught between... like stuck in a rock.
No.
And the waves are really strong and high, so
fuck
the waves are like knocking me over. I was like a bit panicky.
I'm guessing Tom saved you.
Tom came and saved me. And a big, like, I don't know if you can see, like a big slice. That's from like 3 weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
The rock like sliced me and I got like cuts all down there. I was bleeding fast.
That's the start of every film.
And I was just like, right, this next wave's gonna knock me down. I'm not gonna be able to get up. I'm gonna die. But you know when you're just like, because like the honestly the force of the waves, they just knocked me over and I was just like, I'm either going to break my ankle or I'm going to have to just tutty down and drown.
For people outside of Wales, tutty, tutty down means like squatting down slightly. And I think it's very much a South Wales thing, tutty down.
Do you know what Tom loves as well? When I go, dunt.
Oh, Matt
dunt.
Says it to me all the time. He goes, dunt. I go, I don't say that. He goes, yeah, do you go?
Oh,
I wouldn't.
Dunt.
I don't.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, dunt. He's like, dunt.
What other word I like that doesn't exist sometimes outside of putty.
Oh, putty, yeah.
Having a putty, which is having a party,
yeah.
Having a tantrum.
Or screaming ab dabs.
I haven't heard that one.
No, my mum to say that one. She's like, I was having screaming ab dabs, you know, having like hissy fit.
Yeah. What was the saying he told me the other day? don't cast a cloud till May is out, which means that you shouldn't like pack away all your coats and jumpers until May is gone.
Yeah.
Or something of that nature.
Yeah.
That you should like not get excited that it's summer or that it's going to be warmer weather until May is
until May's out. Yeah. One that Tom to say, which I don't know if it's real or not, is kelp your creels.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said about 5 times. Kelp your creels, which apparently means to either pop your clog, which means to die, or to go arse over tit. I think arse over tit is a Welsh thing as well, isn't it?
Is it?
Who else? Does anyone else say arse over tit?
I don't know. Let us know.
Some people say, and if you've ever heard of kelp your creels and you know what it means, please write in as well.
My grandfather used to have amazing ones that he definitely made up. So one of the things was, did the dog shit in the church? I'd be like,
did the dog shit in the church?
What? And the other one was, this isn't offensive. Well, I guess it, as gay as a bucket full of spiders.
I feel like my dad has said that before.
Gay is bucket full of spiders. I used to be like,
what's gay about bucket full of spiders though?
They're having a great
time. It's
scary. It's a scary boy, yeah.
My favourite one, my dad used to, we've gone so off fucking kilter now, but my favourite one, my dad used to go, see those 2 houses over there?
Houses.
See those 2 houses over there? I live in the middle one.
I think it must be, and I do think it's...
It's a Welsh thing to be completely obtuse.
Yeah. Like. I do think it's a man thing that men just seem to be able to say shit. The older they get and people believe them. There's a house near me, and it's a house on a corner of like 3 streets, and it's a lone house. Since I was a little girl, my dad has passed that house, and he tells everybody this fact, that this house has 3 postcodes.
Do it?
I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
And I now do that, like, if we pass them, like, this house has 3 postcodes. And they're like, what? Like, 1CF? And I'm like, no, it's all CF, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it always has different numbers in the end because it crosses 3 streets. And it's just like, do you know what? It's definitely not true.
It is probably not true, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you see someone coming out, they'd be like, excuse me, but what's your postcode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep thinking that one day I'll meet the people that live in the 3 postcode house and they will prove it wrong. And that might, yeah. But there's always that thing in it when you get stories that you're... And it is, I think, a dad thing, or sometimes mums do it as well. They tell you a story and you go, I don't think that's true.
I think you're more likely to say to your mum, like, oh, that's a load of old shite, than you are with your dad. I think with your dad, you're just like, oh, okay, dad. You know, like...
Yeah, often my dad will tell me things and I go, no way. And my mum's like, oh, come on, Amy. You need to stop listening to him.
Dad's prerogative is just to wind you up, though, innit? They're just like, my dad is a proper wind up merchant.
Yeah. And I do think sometimes you meet like guys our age and they're starting to get that way, and you're just like, what are you saying?
Yeah. We met one recently, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. But, we've made the start of this podcast happy. Well, it is happy.
What is happy?
Oh, our shit. Theme.
It's not happy, is there?
Well, it depends how you look at it. Let me see if I can find this image, this quote, actually, very quickly. I recently, and you recently as well, had like a death in the family.
Yeah.
And somebody on my Dungeons and Dragons group, which is as nerdy as it sounds.
Did you get one of those Hellfire Club t-shirts?
I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's good. I watched it all.
There's one in Primark, isn't there? There's cheaper than the Quicksilver one.
I thought it was you that posted it. But yeah, they've got it in Primark. And then people were like selling it for like 4 times the price online.
Oh, were they?
I know. Fucking scabs. Like, scalpers?
I know. Oh, so they sent me like an old... Jew. They are a Jew, a Judaism saying, which was basically... the memory of knowing them, and that's what you think keeps them alive. And I was like, oh, that's lovely, and that your grief doesn't shrink, but the jar around it.
Yes,
grows.
I like the jar metaphor.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, have a look at it, guys. It's good. It's a good way of talking about grief.
So I guess we're going to talk about death in paganism and in Welsh folklore. And the reason I did this one was because when I was at a funeral, my sister-in-law, our friend Annabelle, said, oh, I don't know anything about death in like magic. I was like, oh, I don't. So my new cat would find out for me.
Yeah. Knowledge comes with death's release. Ah.
I'll be paranoid after this episode because I'm not very good with death and the thought of beyond.
Death is only the beginning.
Exactly.
But I don't believe in an afterlife, so. And this is the thing, everyone has their own personal interpretation of death. I don't think there's any wrong or right with it.
To quote Biffy Clyro, my favourite band of all time, I just hope that when I die that there is something deeper. And it's basically implying that, you know, all right, it may not be there, but I really hope that there is something.
You can't destroy energy or matter. So all, you know, I was listening to, God, all I do is listen to podcasts, according to this podcast, which is probably why I'm doing a podcast.
That's why you're good at podcasts.
That's why I'm really good at them. But it was talking about how, like, what is reality? And it's just like, your hand, so my hand right now is losing and gaining monocle. Losing and gaining molecules. So is it really my hand? Like, if I touch something on a molecular level, I am not touching that thing because
that blows my mind too much.
The magnetic field in my hand never touches it because it always repels. Most of my hand is empty space.
Yeah, see,
and this is the thing, you can't destroy it. All the molecules that make me up will go somewhere. The energy that makes me will go somewhere else and get recycled.
Yeah, the colour of things, everything is defined by the molecules within it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does kind of, it's one of these things.
And it's perception.
You know, that trips you out and you're just like, I can't think about it.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I can't deeply think about space too much.
Yeah.
Which is great when your son's obsessed with space, because it just makes me go a bit weird inside. I'm like, yeah, I don't like to think about it too much. And the whole thing of, I'm not actually sitting on this chair, kind of makes me go, whoa.
This chair is mostly empty fucking space.
Yeah.
It's empty space. Like, the thing, most of like, our perception of reality is not real. It's just how our brain has interpreted it. And it's the same with death, I think, in a bit.
Oh.
But yeah, so for me, like, my grandmother died in March, which is a funny one because I wasn't particularly close to her. But obviously, you know, I do mourn her loss, and, like, it was a big impact on my family. But then also before that in February, and I, you know, I'd like to dedicate this episode to someone called Iggy, who sadly died, like, they were in their early 20s, and it was the most I still don't think I've really, like, I still can't get through my head, like,
yeah.
And I didn't know them very well, but I saw, like, I had an evening with them in the pub, like, not long before it happened, and I think that is what really sort of stuck with me. It's just like, you can be here one day and gone next, you know? Nothing is forever.
I think it's always shocking when it's somebody young. Mm. Do you remember that guy we knew, Chris?
Yeah.
I just never forget when he died. I was like, what? And I was just like, I don't get it. And I don't know if you, this girl I knew from back in the day, she was suffering really poorly, like, with cancer, but she just managed to save and buy a house, and she went into hospital and she didn't come back out, and you just think, God, these are young people.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it is harder to grasp when it's somebody, when it is somebody young.
I know, it's just so tragic. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, we've been thinking a lot about death recently, and we wanted to sort of talk about different death traditions.
Mm.
And I feel like people, as they talk a lot about with trauma, like, a lot of trauma, complex trauma issues come where you push it away, you push the idea away, and you don't deal with it. And I think one of the best ways to come to terms with something like that is to just press your fucking face up against it and just deal with it and actually let yourself feel what you're feeling.
Oh, definitely.
So one of the things, so these days, before, like, the, so now, do you know that when you die, you might know this because I think you listened to a podcast that I listened to recently. When you die, your body becomes property of the crown.
Yeah. You
have to be released from the crown back to your family. So, like, you don't own your body. Your family don't own your body. Your body becomes... So they do it. So, like, a protection thing, I guess. But so before that, before embalming, so, you know, it's common practice nowadays, but it didn't used to be. It used to be usual for the body to stay with the family. So somebody would pass away,
yeah,
and it would stay in the care of the family, and they would sit with the dead loved one, they would wash and change and care for them, and people would come to view the body and say goodbye, before the burial, and it was traditional that the body was never left alone. Somebody would always sit with them.
Well, I went to see my grandmother, and she was at home for a while, mainly because she'd passed away at home and she hadn't seen a doctor for a long time. The police have to come and sign off the body. Yeah, they took all their medication and stuff to make sure that nothing's been tampered with. Mm. And I went and saw the body then. And it is hard, but I can see why, if you kept a body in your house and it was of a loved one, why that would be deeply comforting for somebody to look after them. Because I do think there's a very sterile, metal, cold process afterwards. I referring to a family, I never forget, another family member passed away, and their wish was they didn't want anyone to carry them.
Mm.
So they were wheeled on like a metal trolley. And I just thought, oh, that's so cold and horrible. Like, but they didn't want anyone to carry their like coffin. So yeah, I did listen to the same podcast, and I saw that we are a property of the state once we
pass away. Which is so mad, isn't it? And I think that they say that a lot of trauma comes from, like, because when you sit with that body, that dead person, I think you have a bit more time. Your brain can sort of process it. Your brain can be like, right, they're gone now.
Mm.
Whereas if they get whisked away and they're not there anymore, like, I think it gives your brain a bit more time to sort of come to terms with it. If you're like sort of sat with them and you must be so fucking hard and so like really upsetting, but I think like that gives your brain a bit of time to catch up.
Yeah,
whereas like now the way we do it, where, you know, somebody, the ambulance comes, takes them away, and then the next time you see them, it's just a coffin going into, you know.
Yeah, it's very hard to deal with.
It's because I think our brains are not adapted for this modern world we live in at all. Like,
no, because it, you know, they would dress, you know, going back to the Northmen, they dressed bodies and stuff with flowers, and, you know, you'd go visit bodies and stuff. So yeah, it is. I think it is hard for that person to go, and then you don't see them again till. Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't see them again, you know?
No, yeah, exactly. Mm. And I think that's one of the reasons I went. It was because I was like, I want to do it for me and make sure I can do it. And it's a very hard experience for anyone that's done it, but I do think it's like a worthwhile thing. And one of the things I would say, if you ever have the opportunity to do it, I think it's a remarkable thing. You think the body goes cold very fast, and it doesn't go as cold as you think it does. Like, I still held like my grandmother's hand and stuff, and she was still warm.
Yeah.
So all right, she was still in bed at home. But it's, I would highly like recommend, it's quite a, I don't know, comforting experience, in my personal opinion.
I was saying, because I think like the sort of like medical and embalming field, they teach you like a dead body is a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Like a dangerous, hazardous thing, when really it's not. Do you need to plug in?
No.
Oh, that's okay then. So we were taught that it's like a really, you know, like, oh, it's really dangerous, you're going to get diseases from it. But like, that's not true. Like, with somebody who's like recently died, like they're a lot safer than, you know, than a live person in terms of like the diseases they carry.
Yeah, and I think it's what some people find comfort in. Mm. You know, I've met a number of people that don't go to graves and things. Mm. They don't seek comfort in going to graves, because they'll say things like, oh, that's not my dad, that's not my mum, that's not my family member. Whereas I find that deeply comforting. Mm. Because
we're goths.
Because we're goths. But also, I like talking. Like, mm. And I do think my grandmother used to take me to, this is a weird day out, but she always used to take us to, on Palm Sunday, which is the Christian religious holiday, she'd take us to her parents' grave.
Aww.
And it must have been like, I guess the longer someone's gone, you don't go every day, you don't go every week, do you? So we'd go, and she'd always stand and talk to them.
Yeah.
And I just think, oh, I wonder if that's like rubbed off, because I would do that. Yeah. And I talk aloud quite anyway, so yeah, it's an odd thing, isn't it? But I guess one of the things for me, when going through these like experiences, I would like to see a more, I wanted to know more about the other side, what other things you can do, because I guess the more you think, you go to some funerals, I'm like, oh God, I don't want this.
Yeah.
I don't want everyone to sing Bread of Heaven when I die.
No. We had fucking, when my nan died, so they, you know the fucking, the cat song, Memories.
Really?
Memories all alone.
Is that what she asked for?
That's what my grampy asked for. That's what my grampy asked for. And then, right, so we come out with a creme. Beans with creme. I come out with a creme. My grampy's talking to the fucking priest, right? And my grampy's just like, he's really upset, don't get me wrong. He's just lost, he's, you know, just interred his wife. He's fucking telling the bloody priest about how they were first cousins and how they were all inbred. I was just like, grampy, shut the fuck up. Like,
I think
we were a very close family. Very close. Yeah, we were first cousins. I could see this priest's face just like, I was like, grab it.
I do think some people find the whole process like deeply comforting. They find, and I think there are some people in funerals who, so for me, for example, I will cry in anyone's funeral. But I find wakes, I find the other part, it's deeply comforting when you talk about different things, you talk about the memory of the people. And I think some people are better than that than others, and they help the people who can't like cope with that. And maybe your grampy's one of those.
Yeah, like, he was very quiet on the day, bless him. Like,
you would be, didn't you?
Yeah, like, when you lost your partner of fucking 66 years. I can't. Yeah. Something absolutely mad. And my mum was in bits and the kids were all... Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a really emotionally charged day, like.
Oh, you're always knackered at the end of the day.
And I couldn't eat nothing. Did I tell you about the buffet?
Yeah, tell everyone about your buffet.
So they have a buffet, but it's a Valley's buffet. And I'm vegan, which, you know, is a choice. So the only thing that I could eat off the buffet, I had to steal all the bits of salad off the buffet tray, which was very... It was, like, garnish. It wasn't much. And I had to put Bombay mix in a lettuce leaf and eat that. And that's all I could eat all day. I had such a bad headache when I got home.
I feel awful because, like, I went and I had my own little vegan afternoon tea.
Oh, that's fine, though. Like, your family like you, obviously. Everyone fucking hates
and
you.
And the best bit at the end was when the lady came out. She went, oh, we've got this whole vegan chocolate tort and we've only served 3 slices. Do you want to take it home? I was like, bloody hell, I want to take it home. Ate that for days. Like, I had a little chocolate tort
every
day.
My sister took, like, a black bag full of, like, quiches, sandwiches, chicken drumsticks. Like,
is that? We went to a funeral before and somebody was, like, literally clearing the plates, putting them in the car.
Mm.
I get it. It's for wasted reasons.
Exactly.
But
don't waste food. But, yeah, I couldn't eat any of it, like. And, yeah, that was mad. And then my mum...
it's one of those things when you're a vegan where you stop caring about cross-contamination. Like,
yeah.
It was like, yeah, I just need to eat food, so I'm not that bothered if that spoon touched a bit of ham.
Exactly. I'm not like that anyway. Like,
no,
I'm
not
bothered
at all. My
dad's... I use a baking tray that's had, like, you know, a breaded chicken thing in it. I don't care.
That's fine. It's when somebody cooks, like, a sausage and all the fat leaks into your sausage.
Yeah, no.
I'd be upset by that. But my dad said to me recently, he was like... Oh, do you want me to use a different chopping board? I was like,
nah,
you're fine, Dad.
Exactly.
Don't worry. But anyway, that's our little chat about death
funerals.
About funerals that we go to.
I've only ever been to 2 funerals and my two grandmothers. That's it. Like,
I'm trying to count how many I've been to. I think I've been to 5 now.
Oh, babe.
Maybe 6.
That sucks, like. Well, fingers crossed, none for a while now. There's no wood in here. But, so... Traditionally, I don't know why this is, but I don't know, but in the house you would cover all the mirrors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you'd cover all the mirrors and then they keep the curtains closed, so obviously you keep it a bit dark, you know, like yeah, while you're in mourning things. And then the night before the funeral is called the Gwylnos.
Okay.
Gwyl is great, isn't it?
Gwyl. Is it
G-W-Y-L.
Gwyl.
Gwylnos.
That's normally like a holiday.
Yeah, Gwylnos. But so, yeah, it's called the Gwylnos. And then the 1800s, in the morning of the burial, it was traditional for a man to walk around the town ringing the corpse bell. So you give the man the money, the man would go and he'd ring the corpse bell to say, like, oh, you know, hearie, hearie, this person's died.
Can you imagine if they were then in full corpse paint? Like,
oh,
like,
God, that'd be
style.
So cool.
Look,
the
like Emperor's
corpse
walking.
Bell is in corpse paint as well.
And he's walking down with, like, spikes all around him and stuff.
He's like, duh.
Yeah.
No, Nice. And so oak was traditionally considered the best coffin wood to use.
Mm.
Elm, really bad, you wouldn't use elm. But some towns, because, you know, an oak coffin's really expensive, they would have a communal coffin.
Yeah.
So you'd all use the same coffin, and then they'd sort of, like, pitch you out into the grave then, and then back for the next person to use.
Well, my grandmother was adopted, and they never found her mum's, her real mum's grave, because her mum didn't have money, and she was definitely buried with another family member.
Grave.
In a family member, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be buried.
They're very... Funerals overall are like 10 grand.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, yeah. Why does it cost so much to die? Yeah, it shouldn't cost that much to die. But I've always quite fancied a sky burial, but that's really expensive and not very good for the environment. That is where. So they traditionally do it in Nepal. They cart your body up to the top of a mountain. A special man chops you up. And then you get eaten by vultures and you're gone within a day.
Wow. There's that tiny town in Italy, and they've kept every skull of every person that died there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It's like an ossuary. I would love to go to an ossuary.
They have, like, loads of their skulls. I will admit, I'm not very good at thinking about it.
I better think about my own death than other people's.
No, I'm worse. It kind of goes through me a little bit, but... I don't think I could be buried. There's that grave, isn't it? I think it's our last podcast. It's in Edinburgh graveyard, because people used to have bells. So if they were buried alive, they could ring the bell.
Oh.
And there's one where you can see a guy's... He had, like, a mirror, like a window put in, so you could see if he was buried alive or not. Because people used to get buried alive all the time.
Yeah. Well, so you go into a deep coma and you fucking wake up. Because, like, I remember my dad saying before about how when sometimes they've dug up coffins and they found, like, nail marks.
Oh, great.
Like, it's fucking horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it was one of my nan's fears is that she would be, like, buried alive.
Yeah. That's why, like, I think I'd like to be eaten by something.
Yeah, become one. Yeah, I like the idea of, like, being a tree or something. Back yeah. Into it. I know people... Is it that scene in Hannibal where they're all, like, turned to the mushrooms? My worst nightmare. But
They're still alive in that bit, though.
Yeah, but I can see the appeal of becoming one with, like, nature and stuff, but...
Yeah.
I
could do that. Or, like, a sea burial. Though I think I might just give my body to medical science. Some doctor's going to have a fun day with these.
I saw a video on TikTok about this, though. So, you know, when you give your body to medical science,
they
have to then take a loved one's address, because when they're done with you, they will post back the bits that are left with you.
They fucking don't.
Yeah, so if there's bits left...
That's horrible.
Or bits they don't use...
Well, no, I'm sorry. If I'm giving my body to medical science, they have to do the cleanup.
But they send a bit of you back. Imagine one day I get a box and it's all bits of you in there.
Well, no.
I would treasure it, of course.
Yeah. What would you treasure most about me? I've got some nice collarbone.
You do. You're a beautiful person overall. If you had something I could, like... I'm thinking of Ed Gein's, like, nipple belt.
Yeah.
You know?
Strip of my skin, like.
Yeah.
Or, like, my hair. Imagine if they posted you back a box full of my hair.
Well, I creepily did say to my dad the other day, could I have, when he died, like, a bit of his hair or a bit of his ashes? Because I like the idea of keeping something like that in a locket. I've got a bit of my son's, like, hair.
Mm.
And he was like, oh, no, you'll do something weird, witchy with it. And I was like, no, I promise you it'd be out of, like, out of love.
Yeah, it's just a sentimental keepsake.
Like a sentimental thing. Something to creep people out in, like, years to come. Same as when Thomas loses his teeth, I'm definitely keeping them all in a jar.
Oh, yeah. That's nice, though.
Yeah, it's creepy and nice. I like the idea of it.
There's jewellery out of it.
Teeth, there's a girl that does.
And then when he's older and he brings, like, a partner back and stuff, he'll be like, do you want to see the baby pictures in his teeth?
Yeah. I've already decided I'm definitely going to be that... I said on an earlier podcast, I'm going to burn as much sage as possible before they come. And I'll wear the hippiest thing I can find, or the goffiest thing I can find. And they'll come to the house, and he'll be just like, I'm so sorry. And
it's like, Mom, you're embarrassing me.
Because it probably, you know, they say, like, you go away from your parents, and then you come back to what they believe. So he'll be 30, and he'll come back into the way of the magic, and I'll just be like, but before that, I'll just be like, here's a jar of your teeth.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, God.
Mom.
So, yeah, so they have a communal coffin. And that'd be, so in England, they used to pay people to carry the coffin. But in Wales, that would be the family that carried the coffin.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of cultural difference. And then once you get to the graveyard, you have to leave some silver. So you have to leave Arian y Rhaw, which is, my fucking pronunciation there was on point.
It was great.
Arian y Rhaw. And then you have to leave, so it's spade money. So you'd have to leave some silver on the gravedigger's spade to pay him. And that's how you would get him to dig the grave for you. And before flowers were the done thing, you used to put rosemary onto the coffin, like chuck that down into the grave, which you said you were like, oh, protection. And it's like,
yeah, rosemary's for protection, yeah.
Yeah, so keep the dead down. Stay down there. Don't come back up now. And then I wanted to talk to you about, have you ever heard about corpse candles?
No.
Which is not candles in corpse paint.
No, but I am intrigued.
So corpse candles, do you know you can get like will-o'-the-wisps and marsh lights and stuff?
Yeah.
So people would say that if you're at a funeral and you would see like these lights off in the distance low to the ground, and that they were, if they were seen by mourners, it was thought that the lights were harbingers of death.
Ooh.
So people said they saw spectres of candles moving slowly. So if you saw a red glow, that means a man was going to die. And then if you saw a white glow, there would be a woman. A weak light would be a child. And if you saw two candles, it's a double death.
Jesus.
Yeah. So there's a lot of superstition around there. And then I did a bit of research, because obviously we are in Wales. I was having a look about the death superstitions of miners.
Oh, okay.
Miners who dig underground, not people under the age of 16.
Oh, yeah, that's that kind of miner, yeah.
I always love
coal
that joke.
Miners.
You know that joke when it's just like, oh yeah, it'd be fucking miners. And they're like, it's just like.
With this bloody platy jubes, as people have been calling it this weekend.
What?
People have been calling the Platinum Jubilee platy jubes.
Oh, fuck the Jubilee.
Yeah, fuck the Jubilee. But the amount of paedophile jokes because of.
Oh, have you heard the fucking Prince Andrew's A Sweaty Nod song?
Yeah, by the Crunts? The Cunts?
The Cunts, yeah. The Cunts with a K.
Yeah. It was one. There's some. I think it was.
Did it get to number one?
No, I don't think so. Matt sent me, which was, oh, when you're 100, the Queen sent you a letter, but when you turn 16, Prince Andrew sent you a text.
Horrible.
I can't even believe they were like, oh yeah, Prince Andrew's not coming. He's got COVID. He shouldn't be fucking allowed.
He's not allowed. Yeah.
He shouldn't be called a prince anymore. What the fuck is happening?
I was going to say, didn't he get stripped of everything?
Stripped of his title, but not his prince title. Because that's by blood. His dukedom. Was he the Duke of something?
I don't know. Duke of York. York he was. Piece of shit. All of them, though. Because, like, I watched the Jimmy Savile documentary recently because
yes, I'm a masochist, mental. Yeah.
And fucking Prince Charles was like, asking him about his fucking PR and stuff. They're all fucked. They're all terrible, terrible fucked up people who should not have any modicum of money or power.
I honestly think that it should end at her now. Like, I
hopefully because people say, the next two are deeply unpopular. No one likes William. Everyone fucking hates Charles. Like,
I find it really hard when people are like, she's worked very hard, and I'm like,
she hasn't done fuck all.
She
had the cushiest life of ever.
I do believe to an extent there is an element of work. I'm not denying that. But it's nowhere near.
Look, if you're in the lap of luxury every day, you know, it's not like she's fucking toiling in the fields, is it?
No, exactly. But I didn't watch any of it because I wouldn't. But I did see that Elton John sang Your Song, and I do like that song, so I'll probably go.
Oh, for the Queen?
Yeah, which is weird because
he sang it for Diana.
Yeah,
she was fucking horrible. I know. I went on a bit of a Diana deep dive because my mom is like obsessed with her. Like my mom, do you remember the day Diana died?
Yeah,
was your mom in bits?
My dad. Yeah. They were born the same day. They were same age, born the same day. I find it really funny, though, how people love Diana so much and then still love the monarchy when it broke it. Because that's one of the things, like, I think I don't
people
like...
People love the repressors.
Yeah, I don't like the monarchy, but I like watching what hats they're going to wear to each other's weddings and stuff. So I find that a bit... That's my guilty pleasure, whilst also being like, this cost £1 million. And one of the only people I respect to a degree, he still has life a lot fucking easier than most of it. It's Harry turning around saying, yeah, this happened to my mum, so I'm leaving. I don't want any of you to be involved.
But he's still a rich cunt, though.
Still a rich cunt, but at least he knew what that life did to, and he didn't want it to happen to his wife. And yeah, that's better than...
And they're all just bastards and liars. And
yeah,
the thing, the woman is sitting on a literal pile of gold while kids are in poverty.
Fucking hell.
Like, how much do you really care? You're supposed to be the sovereign. The sovereign's supposed to be the protectorate of this people. Like, when's the last time they protected anyone but themselves?
Yeah, and one thing I did stick up, we were driving and there's loads of flags and everyone was like, look, and my partner was like, oh God, I can't believe so many people in South Wales are interested. And I went, they're not really into her. It's an opportunity to have a street party and have a party with your loved ones. I think when you see most of the flags, it's not really for her. It's more for a 4-day weekend, get a party kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's how they sell it to you. That's the thing. Yeah. That's how they get in the same with, like, how her face is on the money, the stamps, you know, it's around.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you... It's the same... Do you know, like, with them...
We
like,
could have
communism.
Fucking Boris on the money. That's...
Yeah, well, he shouldn't be in fucking office either.
Did you hear that they were saying that people were cheering for him, but it was booing? We're going off on a tangent.
Yeah,
now.
We're going off on a tangent. Let's not talk about fucking Boris. I can't deal with him. Like,
yeah, let's not talk about
it. I wish it was his fucking funeral. But one last thing I will say before I go. If she dies this year, another week off.
Yeah.
So that would be cool.
Please do
that for us, Liz. Come on now.
Yeah.
We're probably going to get so much fucking hate.
Nah, I do think the people that listen to our podcast get us. So there we go.
Hopefully. So yeah, miners. So miners believed that there were certain birds, they would call them corpse birds.
Oh,
and
yeah,
these are pigeons, robins and doves. And they believed that if they flew over the pit, that was the foretelling of a disaster.
Oh.
And women was considered bad luck as well. So if miners went... So most women, when the miners were going to work in the morning, they would stay indoors. Apparently, it's thought to be bad luck if a miner passed a squinting woman, he would have to turn around and go home. But, like, imagine being the woman with, like, you know, you've got
bad
a bit,
squint.
If you've got a bit of a boss eye, like, and you... And every time you... You know...
I don't think you could say boss eye.
Oh, okay. If you have a turn in your eye, is that
yeah,
all right? Please edit that out. That's really awful. I thought that's what you could say. At least I didn't say bonk-eyed.
You said it now.
But anyway, if you've got one eye looking for you, one looking at you, that's what my dad would say. That's not my joke.
Okay.
You know, you'd be so unpopular in your local town, wouldn't you? Because people would be like, for fuck's sakes, Margaret, I can't go to work now.
Why are you out on the street now?
Outside.
Yeah, they
yeah,
didn't have sick pay then for
yeah,
seeing an old lady.
So yeah, they just turn around and go home.
Oh.
And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was it's a Borderlands tradition that you might know of, the Sin Eater. Know about the Sin Eater?
I obviously know the term Sin Eater, but I don't know much about Sin
Eater. And the artist as
and
well.
The fabulous artist.
Who I always call Sin Esther for some reason, I don't know why.
Oh God, yeah,
yeah. Amazing artist. So the Sin Eater, so this is like, you know, very early, like this is like around the time of the plagues, I think. So they had a tradition where there would be a certain person in the community, they were a bit like sort of outcast, and they, you know, they weren't included in the community. So the part of the ritual was the dead person's family would put some on some like meat and bread and you know, a bit of a feast for them, and they would come and they would eat the sins, like all the sins from that person who died would go into them and they would take on all the sins.
Whoa.
Yeah, so they're consuming them. And so the person, and this person was usually feared and shunned by the rest of the community, because they were like thought to be like full of fucking sin, and then they would live like kind of like a hermit, you know, just
why
coming
would they
out of
take
funerals.
That on
fuck knows, Catholicism.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's mad. Creepy.
It's the same with the guy who does the chopping and the sky burial.
Yeah,
guy lives completely like, because he's considered like unclean because he's to do a death, so he doesn't live with the rest of the community.
Undertaker came to a house party of mine once when he was on call.
The Undertaker.
Not the Undertaker, but a Undertaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Was he shunned?
No. We asked him a lot of questions.
Aww.
I can't remember. I was 17.
Yeah.
I think he was like somebody's friend, and he was like popped around for a drink where he was on course. He was in his full suit and everything.
Yeah. People who live in work in the death industry. It's a very interesting industry, like.
Yeah.
Hmm. But yeah, that's my bit.
So I found some bits, like in the form of like rituals and magic. Now, a lot of death magic links to Samhain, because that is the thinning of the veil. So I think previously when we did our Samhain episode, I've talked a bit about these things. So there's Hel's altar. So Hel was obviously the guardian of Hel. And so you can go back and listen to the Samhain episode for bits and pieces on that. But I did find like a pagan burial custom. Mm. So again, this was in a bit of research I found, that actually pagan burial customs, you're not actually buried and fully died until a year after. So pagan burial customs are finalized only when the soul is released from the body or the grave. So you're summoning a rebirth. So this starts the day before the descendant's like first birthday following their death. So I guess that can be up to you. It depends how far away they were from their like birthday.
Oh, mad.
Yeah, so what you would do, what they would do is they paint the names of the descendant on a piece of wood using white paint, and the wood should be the nearest size of their palm or like foot.
Yeah.
And then they'd wrap a leather cord around the wood, one owned by the descendant if best. So I guess if it's somebody you know that's like got dress shoes, they're like leather, like laces, aren't they? And then you would dig a trench slightly larger than the piece of wood and place the wood inside it and bury it. Do this, you would do it in the near the grave or in the person's like garden or by their back door, and you would then build like a cairn of 6 or 7 stones over the wood, and then you would build like kindling and tinder in a brazier and using different woods than used earlier, and you'd set this up before dawn, so you'll need to wake early for this one. And during the translucent light, you would take apart the cairn and place the stones in a circle. And then you dig up the piece of wood with the names on it, then put the stones inside the hole, unwrap the leather cord, use red or yellow paint to cover the name you painted in white. And upon sunrise, you would then light the wood as it sits directly over the hole, and add the leather cord, then add the painted wood top the cord and the leather, so it's all alight. And then you would pour butter or hard liquor over it, and when the wood is burned entirely, you remove it all, then fill the hole, and then process the ashes after they are cool inside the wood bowl with a stick, and then you could scatter these ashes, and apparently it does their rebirth on their birth. That's what I read.
So we could pass on to the other world, though.
Yeah, or mad. Like reincarnate or rebirth for somebody else. But the other thing, like I talked about, I think I mentioned it on the last, well, on the Samhain episode, but I didn't go into details. But have you heard about death masks?
Yeah, death masks, mad, like.
So they used to make death masks. In like ancient Egypt and other cultures, and they were a form of protection.
France is big as well.
I think you can see one in a museum in Florence. I think there's a death mask, but they'd make them of dead people, and they would allow your shadow self to protect you as you enter the shadow world. They use them as molds as well, then for statues and all sorts of things. But they were thought to, like, you know, protect you from evil. What you can do on Samhain, if you're doing a particular ritual and you want to be protected, you can create your own death mask. Now, you're not dead. So when you're creating a death mask, you almost have to summon somebody that you know is dead. So the materials you would need, it's almost like you're making a paper mache.
Yeah.
You need like half a cup of flour, half a cup of water, bowl. They say aloe vera gel here. I think
that's to stop it sticking to your face.
Yeah, I think Vaseline would work. Newspaper and a mirror, and then some acrylic paint. So what you would do is you'd mix up your mixture and strip all your pieces of newspaper, and you would cover your face with the aloe vera gel, you know, your eyebrows and hairline and stuff like that. And then
you'd end up bald.
Yeah, so you don't pull out your hairs. And then you would use a mirror and you would focus on the shadow you'd like to protect you as you walk among the dead. on this liminal night. So as you're doing your rituals on Samhain, you're walking amongst the dead, you're thinking of a person that can come and protect you. And you're almost like visualising their face upon yours. So then when you're building your death mask and you put it all on, it's them, yeah, not you.
So creepy.
Yeah, and you would leave that on for like 15 minutes and then dry overnight. So I guess this is in preparation for the next night kind of thing. And you can then paint it how you want. Now, traditionally, they were always white, ivory, or bronze. But I like the idea of, like, decorating one nicely. And you would wear it doing your ritual on that night. And that person then would protect you and guide you through. Now, you would then destroy it. You would get rid of it because you no longer, you need that shadow to go back to the shadow realm, to the other side. So you would destroy it and you would say, I thank you for your protection, but you're no longer needed in this realm. Your power over me has vanquished, and you're no longer required. And you'd get rid of them. Which is quite a hard thing, isn't it? Because I like the idea of keeping the death mask. But of course, if you're doing it to summon somebody.
The thing, if you're doing one of yourself just for a draft, like that's different.
Yeah. But if you're using the power for something.
If you're drawing on someone. Yeah. Maybe send them back. It'd be good manners.
Yeah. It reminds me of a horror film called Host. And it was filmed in lockdown over Zoom. And the premise is that they go on a call with a medium. All chat and stuff like that, and this person and the medium warms them up to like tell fibs and stuff because you can draw other people into the realm that you didn't know about, and somebody makes up a story and draws a different shadow in,
And then it fucks them all up.
Yeah, and then apparently what and again I talked about on Samhain before, but dumb suppers.
Yeah, that was nice when you talked about that.
Yeah, and I looked a bit more about it because I got this new book which is called A Kitchen Grimoire, and it's all about recipes and stuff. And they were talking about a good thing to do is if you do a dumb supper, which is a supper that you're doing completely silent, and you leave a space for the person that's deceased or the people that are deceased, is if you make recipes that link you to that person. And apparently they're things that have gone in and out of fashion, and they're back in,
I think they're back in fashion
now, to do that type of thing again, but very much in Victorian times when it was very
about death in Victorian times, weren't they? The death photography as well. I remember, like, they'd pop them up and, like, take photos.
Well, they had an obsession with things like magic and mediums and pieces
and
like
spiritualism.
That. Yeah.
And just mad as well, like, we talk about death masks. You know the CPR dolls? I don't know how true this is, but I've been told that the CPR doll is based off a death mask of a French little girl they pulled out the Seine.
I think I've heard this fact, so it may be true.
Yeah.
Stuff like that is crazy, how they model things off.
I know, of like real life things.
I always think that podcast Lore is quite good for things like that.
I
haven't listened to it for a very long time, but they often tell you the result of something afterwards, and how it links into today and how it links into now. So that's pretty good.
So that's death.
Should we draw another card?
Let's draw a card.
Fimbarod. Ooh.
I've got
a six of cups.
Scythe of cups?
Not scythe.
No, quich.
Quich.
Oh, cut that bit out. Right. Six of cups. Children, family, childhood memories, connection and karmic connections. A connection to childhood memories and memories of home.
Aww.
Quite nice.
Yeah,
you're doing better on this season.
I'm doing great.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, you've got the reverse curse.
I got the reverse curse. That's fine, I can live with that.
Yeah.
Right, Dan. Star of Swords. I don't know what sword is in Welsh. It's probably just sword. Right. Indecision, lack of direction, stalemate, and unclear vision. Confusion from an overwhelming sense of choice, being stuck between two competing sides. Well, there's definitely a bit of a theme emerging, isn't there? I was feeling very overwhelmed on, was yesterday Saturday?
Yeah.
Aww. So, makes sense. I always quite fancy that as a tattoo.
That's a good one.
I know. I don't know if you know the Two of Swords, guys. It's
somebody on a beach, sat in a chair, white robe, like a blindfold, and then the swords are like crossing them over their shoulders in front of them.
Yeah.
And there's a crescent moon in the background.
I always think, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I always think with having tarot cards tattooed, have you got to find one that you think the meaning of it like really links to you?
Mm. Well, like, because there's loads of stuff you learn. So you know on the Fool?
Yeah.
The Fool's got, so there's a thing about like Sub Rosa. So okay. Sub Rosa is like between the row, no, beneath the row, sorry, which is like a link to like occultism. Because like he's way, I'll have to send you the thing because it was a very interesting little article.
Oh yeah, we'll share that.
And there's loads of like, because these are based off like older cards. So they're just like, oh, there we are. Look, so see, he's got a rose in his hand.
Oh yeah.
And like there's stuff to do. There's a lot of like symbolism in that rose.
Oh.
Mm.
That's cool.
I know.
No, it's, I always overthink it. I'm like, oh yeah, it'd be cool to have a tarot card, but if you really got to think about it, because it's tattooing it, bringing it into manifestation.
I'd get the High Priestess tattoo, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, the girl that tattooed my pumpkin, Jade, she's got a High Priestess one, but they're all in circus style.
Oh, amazing.
Like traditional, like circus style. Anyway, that's us done.
Woohoo!
Thank you for listening to the second episode of the new season.
Yeah.
We didn't know we were going to do seasons. We've ended up doing seasons.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your patience and thank you for listening in. Please get in touch with us if you've got any ideas for different episodes or things you'd like us to find out about. We won't do very good research, but we'll have fun with it.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be bringing some new stuff to you very, very soon.
Hopefully, yes, definitely.
But yeah.
So thanks, guys. Speak to you soon.
Au revoir.
Bye. Bye.